After the lesson will be number 155. We place you in the highest place. We place you in the highest place.
You know, it's just interesting what all goes through my mind before I get up here. It may not be interesting to you at all, but I worry about, should I have my sleeves rolled up or rolled down so I can look at my watch, but then there's the clock over there, you know, and did I number the pages right in my notes? And, you know, just a lot of things that Satan wants me to think about before I get up here, instead of really just be concerned about my heart and be concerned about you and what God might have put on my heart for you. And for us to really, including me, just to be focused on the moment that God had us here for and the reason that he's got us here. And then the rest of it just disappears and becomes less relevant. And so that's where I have been. But then you got to go back and put this thing on, make sure it doesn't fall off. And, you know, that feels funny. So things just keep on coming up. But I just want to welcome you here this morning. Each and every one of you, whatever brought you here this morning, whatever you brought with you, I just trust that you've been welcomed by each and every one or the ones that have been around you. And I trust even more than that, that you have been welcomed by our Father and that you sense his presence and that you will leave by knowing that you have been with our Father this morning. It's always good for me when I see that God has brought us here very purposefully. And big things and small things alike, but as we were spending time with Bruce this morning before we got started, he said that his mother had passed away just this morning. And Bruce, thank you for sharing that with us. And I know that she's been struggling with life for a while here, but she passed on and asked Tom if he would lead a special song, one of his mother's favorite songs. And to me, that always brings just a special flavor of worship and a special abiding presence of God with us when a song we sing might have a special meaning for one, had a special meaning for one who has gone on before us and is waiting on family and waiting on the rest of us to be there with our Father. And it just brings something very sweet. Tom was asking me to listen to that song that might have been new for us this morning. What was the name of that song, the new one? Well, the other one, that you had the book, How Deep the Father's Love, and he was just, you know, singing that for me this morning back there and just showing that to me, and he got to that one place to where we are part of the ridiculing crowd, and tears just came to his eyes, and to see the heart of our worship leader, and even that was evident to you this morning when he was reading the words of that song to us. It really draws me into a very special place to be with God, and so I speak on behalf of our Father, just welcome you here, and glad you are here to seek your Father, and glad you are here to worship with each one of us as we praise him. So thank you. And Bruce, thank you for coming on and being here. You had a reason not to be here, but many times difficult situations are even better reasons for us to come and be when things in us would just ask us not to be here, but thank you for coming on. I looked around this morning, and Glenn, this is not the sermon yet, so don't start timing me yet. Glenn's going to give me the thing here in a few minutes, and so never know when he's going to give it. So, but I was looking around, I was telling Sarah, I said, there's really not, this is a small crowd this morning, and she assured me that it was not because I was speaking, but this was actually fall break, so, you know. That may or may not be true, Peter. I don't know for sure, but that's what I'm going to go on. That's what I'm going to go on. Just to get down to what I'm up here to talk to you about this morning, David began last week just sharing with the body a vision that the leadership of this congregation has begun working on back months ago. And I can remember very well our first meeting together was on April the 25th. And the reason I remember that day is because I was not there the day that our ministers and elders got together, because that's the day that our grandson was born. And so that was actually the first day that we got together and began to dream about some things, to pray about some things, and to see where God might want to lead us as a body into something that would be very purposeful and intentional about where this body is going. There's so many things that our Father leaves up to us choices to make as to how we will go about operating in His kingdom. So there's a lot of latitude there that He's given to us. But David began sharing with us last week the big picture of the vision that we have had for this body. And I'm going to get a little more specific this morning and take the first part of that in the next four lessons. There is out in the on the table back here, okay, the table in the back of the auditorium, four or five pages here of Vision for the Future, Forest Mill Church of Christ that we've put together. And if you don't have one of those, please pick one of those up this morning. We're not going to hand them out right now, but so that you might have some more information and help you to be a part of what we're talking about for the next 4 weeks. And let me go ahead and get things open here. I really admire somebody like David that can get up here without notes and Daryl, and just rip, you know, just keep it going. Now, I could do that if I didn't want to say what I intended to say this morning. I could do that. Y'all been around me enough, I can talk, you know. And it might be good, it might not be, you know. But I do enjoy that, just speaking from my heart. But I do have some things that I really want to stay focused on this morning. And please allow me to see it, just to be with my notes here and just try to be a little more focused in honor of you and in honor of what I want you to hear this morning. You know, even the word grow, the acrostic that David presented to us last year, that represents in a way the vision that we have for this church, the G standing for God to represent our worship and our encounter with God in the assemblies that we have, the R, relationships, that we have a vision for this body to develop deeper and deeper and more meaningful relationships with one another and our Father, that we do, I think, most effectively in our small groups. The O, obedience, which really is much more than obedience, but the process of discipleship, the process of once a person has entered into the body of Christ and become a believer, that they begin a process, not an end point to become, but a beginning of a process, of a lifelong process of becoming a disciple of Jesus. And that has more to speak about that I think Dan will talk to us about in a couple of weeks, just about personal discipline, personal habits, alone and as a group, to begin to grow and to become the kind of disciples that God wants us to be. And the O, the W stands for works, but again, it talks about something much bigger than that. It talks about becoming involved in one of the ministries here at Forest Mill, to become a servant, to become a worker, to become a minister yourself, and plug into something significant and meaningful that will allow you to work out your salvation, Vanna, as we talked about this morning in class. What is outward about our life that shows the transformation that has taken place in our heart? So to become involved in one of the ministries here at Forest Mill, whether it's upward or whether it's CR or whether it's benevolence or whether it's on and on and on, there's just a number of ways for you to get involved. We believe very strongly that unless a person follows along that path, that your growth stops somewhere along the way. And we are planning on being very intentional about expecting each person who is a part of this body to be in that process. We are going to call you, not on the phone, but we're going to call you to be involved every step of the way and be very intentional about your maturity as a believer. We're serious about that. And we want you to enjoy the growth and the maturity that God has planned for you. We're going to spend some time this morning, just a few minutes, talking about one of the most obvious things that we do as a body of believers. And what is the most obvious thing that we do as a body of believers that is sort of our hallmark, or sort of our trademark, is sort of how people know us, it's how we're labeled, good and bad, but it's our assembly time on Sunday morning. It's what we do here on Sunday morning is one of the hallmarks that identifies us, and it's the time that when most people might come and be a part of this, when they may never come to another thing that the Forest Mill Church of Christ does all during the week. And we're going to look at that this morning as our worship to God and how that might look and how that might even be done differently to be more in line with the commission that our Jesus has given us to take him to everyone in the world, to take him to everyone that we see. Our desire for each one is that this event on Sunday morning is a beginning point for each one that walks in these doors, the beginning of a lifelong journey with their Savior, not an end point in itself, not for us to react out of, okay, I got my church done, you know, I got my church done, and so it's good. That was talked about so vividly last Sunday morning when David Dale stood before us and led our communion service. Where is David? I like to look at people when I'm talking about him. David left. No, he didn't. He's in the wrong. What do you? Why come you're not up here? Oh. That explains that, doesn't it? I had to ask. It's empty. Would you like to come down? No, okay. As David Dale led our communion last Sunday morning, you know, sometimes different services and the way we do things touch me differently. I'm sure perhaps you too. But as David stood before us last Sunday morning, and perhaps my image of David, and perhaps this is not yours, but David as the scholar, David as the historian, David as the teacher, David as the school teacher, David as the one who is, you know, details, you know, historical details and facts, you know. Now, when I visualize David, that's my picture of David, you know. That's a loving picture, David, but that's how I picture you. But to have David stand up before us and make some of the comments that he made last week about the theologians, the religious people in the past who have maybe created more arguments in the name of religion than we would have perhaps if they had not done their good work, David. And David, you know, would have been one of the ones, perhaps like myself, that would have just thrived on that, you know, to read about the latest argument or read about the latest theology that we could sit in our little classes and sit in our lunches and talk about and argue about. But to hear a man who I would have identified that way stand before us last week, and I'm coming to know now that I had gotten real good about doing church. I knew a lot about the theology. I knew a lot about all the arguments, and I could argue both sides. But I've come to learn that that has very little value for me. And what I've come to learn that has value for me is not knowing about theology, but knowing the one that theology is about. Coming to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And some of David's words were that I have gotten very good at doing church. Is that what you said, David? I've learned how to do church. You did say that. I wrote it down. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, now let me go back and rethink this, Sid. I'm just almost certain you said that last Sunday, but, you know, with age, memory issues come too, both for me and you. So, this was not really even meant to be funny. Okay. We're on page one. We've got 12 pages. That's not true. But to see David stand before us and see an obvious move in his heart that shows up on the outside, that shows up in his words, to show up in the tone of his voice, and to see a man who has, in his words this last year, in his recovery step study experience, that he has come to know Jesus Christ and his Father on a one-to-one basis. I'm telling you, I just sat out there wherever I was sitting last week and just had tears running down my face. To see that kind of change and growth take place in a man that I've known for some 30 years, and we've been very, very dear friends, and perhaps even to see the change that God has brought in all of our lives, David. But to see that and to see the kind of change that I've seen in his life, I think speaks to me of the kind of heart that each of your shepherds have for you and the kind of growth and the kind of spiritual formation that we long to see in each one of you. Our heart might be summed up best in a passage that that Paul said this in Galatians 4:19. Paul said, "My dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you." Now, I've probably used this passage before up here, and I've tried to walk on eggshells when I talk about the pains of childbirth and the pains of labor, because David, you know, we get in trouble, don't we? And I will not say I understand. I'm not sure why Paul thought he could talk about that, but he did, you know. So perhaps I can have that liberty too. But the intense desire and the intense wanting for each of you, I think, really shares with you the heart that each of your shepherds have for you in your spiritual growth, that we might see Christ formed more in you. And to use this event once a week to support that process and to be more a part of that process is really our heart. When he talks about formed in you, the word form in itself just speaks of change. It speaks of a process. It speaks of growth. And we long that each one who comes in those back doors, side doors, that comes to be a part of our Sunday morning gathering together, that they would enter that growing process, the very kind of process that David Dale, I think, displayed for us very well last Sunday morning. I'm going to use another word here, but I think this is what Paul talks about here. Another way of saying the kind of hope that we have for you is that you will come to a place of spiritual discontent. Spiritual discontent. You know, you might say, well, we're supposed to be content. I think our Lord wants us to be content with what he provides for us, what he gives for us, but I don't think he ever wants us to come to a place of spiritual contentment, that I have grown enough, I am where he wants me to be, I have arrived, look at me, you know, but a longing and a hunger to be born in you, to be initialized and to be sparked by being here together on a Sunday morning, for your hunger and your desire and your spiritual discontent to be awakened and say, wow, there is more of my Father than I ever dreamed, and I want more of him. Paul said this, I think, in Philippians, Van, as we're going to get to in a couple of weeks. Paul said, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. And he goes on to make that larger and explain that. For that desire to be created here, because of us being here together on Sunday morning. Paul also speaks very similarly in another passage that I asked the brothers to put up, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. Paul says this, but we were gentle among you, like a mother caring for her little children. We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us. And as your shepherds, we want to begin anew to explore every avenue that is open to us in the way that we choose to do corporate church. Here on Sunday morning, in all of the events and all the ministries and all the programs that we're a part of, we want to anew revisit and explore every avenue possible that more people might come into the kind of relationship that David Dale talked about last week up here at this Lord's Supper table. It's just really a dream and a burden that we have in our heart. You might ask, well, we've been doing church here for a long time. Why go back and relook at things? Why start over in a way to see this? We're actually doing okay, and that's not to say that we're not, but why do this now? And that's a good question. That's a fair question, and I want to try to maybe answer that a little bit as we look at a few things this morning. One of the most visual and prominent opportunities that a church will have in a community is what we do on Sunday morning. I really wish it weren't like that. I wish people saw more. I wish there were other things that people saw more prominent, but I'm glad they do. I'm glad they drive by and see a building. I'm glad they drive by and see a sign. I'm glad they drive by on Sunday morning and see a parking lot full of cars, because people are here because there's something that's important to them. So it is a very visual and prominent opportunity that we have as believers to share our Jesus Christ with more people. But many people come on a Sunday morning, like I said, and they would never come to another event that we might do, whether it's CR or whether it's Upward or anything. They might not come in here on Sunday morning. They might come in here on Sunday morning and not come to anything else. But impressions are made by what people experience. Haven't you been some kind of impression made on you already this morning by what has been done? You've had some kind of experience. You've had some kind of flavor that settled on you, some kind of spirit or some kind of experience that has touched you, and you said, okay, this is what they're about. Here is what these people are about, just the short time that you've already been with us this morning. But as I think about the different kinds of people that might walk in these doors, it might be seasoned Christians, seasoned veterans, I would say, believers that have walked with the Lord for a long time. They're mature. They're the old-timers. You know, I guess, David, that would include us, wouldn't it? We've been at it for a long time, so we're old-timers. We're not the oldest of timers in here, but we are some of the old-timers, and that might be some of the folks that would walk through. It might be young families with children or without children who for some reason or another have gotten distracted and gotten away from church, gotten away from really walking closely with the Lord. And when family responsibilities start to really press in on us, we say, you know, God has put a precious infant in our arms. We hear this young'un cry every night. We change his diapers. Or grandparents do that too, don't they, Ray? And it wakens something up back in us. And so I think people come back into our churches for the first time, maybe after having gotten away, and they're looking for something. They're looking for an opportunity to rededicate themselves, to reconnect with a body of believers and reconnect with our Lord. Or people that have been touched by one of our outreach ministries, like Upward. We have, Landy's not here this morning, but how many folks do we have show up on a Saturday? A dozen? A thousand? Yeah, 1,000 would be a good round number. We have folks show up on Friday nights, different ones from week to week. Just about lost it. When your nose itches, you got to scratch it. We have folks show up that will be at some point in time drawn to come check us out, come to look and see what we do on Sunday mornings, folks that may have never been in a church before. We will have desperate people walk in these doors every Sunday morning. They are looking for relief. They're looking for hope. They don't know what we do in here. They don't know what church is about, but they've heard that there might be hope here. We might have folks that have just grown tired. You know, when Jesus called out to the people that were around him, he said, "Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion?" He said, "Just come look for me and you will find your life. You will find a rest." We've got folks that are just tired. Tired of life, tired of how it comes at us, and they're looking for a fresh breath of life. And then we may have folks who just come to church out of duty, just come to church because my mama did, my daddy did, my grandmother did, all my aunts and uncles go to church, you know, all my neighbors go to church, so I guess I'm supposed to go too. There's a lot of different reasons why we show up on any given Sunday morning, isn't it? You know, there's a lot of different reasons why we do. But regardless of what brings somebody in the door on a Sunday morning, it can be the beginning of a spiritual journey to grow, to become a believer, and to grow into a mature, serving, giving Christian that's a part of a ministry of taking Jesus back out to the very people, just like them, that came in here to start with. We want to become very intentional and serious about bringing people to Jesus Christ in our Sunday morning worship service. We don't want our service to be a kind of service that's difficult for people to get to Jesus, or it would be confusing for people to get to Jesus, but we just want to relook at things and see if we are being relevant to all the people that I just talked about and probably many, many more. Because of this, as your shepherds, we've had to ask ourselves some very difficult questions, and you may be asking yourself some of these questions too. Are our services relevant and appealing to those people who are not familiar with the traditions of the Church of Christ that we've come to honor and love over a lifetime? Are they relevant and appealing to everyone. Would we have expected our membership over the last 10, 20 years to have grown significantly, to have become larger? And if it hasn't, are there choices that we can make intentionally? Are there choices that we can make to help change that on a Sunday morning? Closer to home, is the style of our doing church inviting to the several younger generations beneath those of us who might be the seasoned veterans here in church, from our teens all the way up to our young and professional families? You know, often people answer that question by their attendance, don't they? If it's relevant, they're here. If it's not relevant and inviting, we are not here. Do our services introduce our Savior to seeking people who may have never been in a church at all? Do they feel like they fit? Are our services a beacon of hope to the one who did all they could just to be here this morning? And I bet there's someone here, if not more, just like that this morning, that it was everything you could do to go ahead and get up and come on out and just be here and just sit in one of these seats. Can our services change to become more relevant and contemporary, and at the same time be meaningful to those of us who are satisfied with just how things are done now? And brothers, that's probably not all the questions that we've asked ourselves, but those are some of the questions that we have asked ourselves as we look at things afresh and anew. The first step for us in this process was just to recognize that we do need change. You know, the first step in a Celebrate Recovery step study is denial, right, Norma? Is that difficult to realize that, you know, I might just be in denial about something or some things, you know, and as we begin that process as individuals, the list tends to grow longer instead of shorter, doesn't it? You didn't know I talked to you this morning, did you? But denial, you know, and that's the first and hardest step that we have had as your shepherds, to be willing to look at things and, you know, maybe everything we're doing is not our only option. But oftentimes we settle into the option that we know the best, and we just keep doing it. The second step that we've taken, which may be a more concrete step, is to select a group of the members here from among you, a good cross-section of our members here at Forest Mill, and to form what we're calling a worship committee. What an innovative name to call it, you know? I'm just thinking, how did we come up with that? But anyway, that's what we're calling it. And so, Sid, the charge that we've given that group of people is this, and I want to read this because this is going to be in their hands. We're asking you to assist us in a process of focusing everything we do in our congregation around a simple goal of drawing people to our God and His Son, Jesus Christ, then helping them to mature through deep relationships, through ongoing discipleships, and through loving service or ministry. We believe that the Sunday morning worship or assembly time is the primary tool we have to lift up Jesus Christ to both believers and non-believers. Our desire is that we make our time together both uplifting and essential to believers and attractive and accessible to unbelievers. We understand that this will require that we look at everything we do to make it relevant to younger Christians and to those not familiar with our traditions. This will require thoughtfulness, creativity, and sensitivity. And that is the charge that we have given this group of people that we've put together to help us to look at what we are doing. And I want to close. I'm gonna sort of throw the notes away here because Glenn's starting to get antsy back there. And Glenn, thank you for that. If I were to want to talk about just for a few minutes, and this will be just a few minutes, we are near the end. If I want to talk about just for a few minutes of the kind of God, the kind of Father God that I would want people to experience and to begin to get to know every Sunday morning, I want to share just a little bit of the Father that I've gotten to know through the book of Hosea in the Old Testament. Hosea is a disturbing story in God's Word. It is more than just a disturbing story for me. But as we read the book of Hosea, the first three chapters, more or less, talk of the story of the life of Hosea and how that God called Hosea and He said, I want you to go pick a wife in town, pick a girl in town to be your wife, and she's going to be a prostitute. She's a harlot. She is out on the street making calls, drawing men to herself. He said, I want you to pick that woman as your wife. And so he picked Gomer. and brought her home as his wife. I'm already disturbed. I don't know about you that our Godfather would operate in that way. But he told Hosea to go take Gomer as your wife. You know, to add insult to my spirit, to my mind, maybe my mind more than my spirit, was he said, and she is also going to bear you children by men besides yourself. And so even after she came to be his wife, she would still take herself back out to men and become a mother to children that weren't children of Hosea. To add more insult to that, and there were three children specifically that were mentioned that God named, gave those children's name. And to add more insult to that, she left him again and apparently just planned on leaving him for good. That's not real surprising for a prostitute to come and go, is it? And so I'm sure the whole time Gomer was saying, well, she's been back out at least three times. She's come back home pregnant, you know, by these men that I don't even know. And she's bearing children that aren't my children. And I bet she's going to leave again. Well, she did leave again and probably left with the intention of staying. And God told her, he says, you go back and get her. And don't just drag her home. He said, you go back and buy her. You go back and buy her and bring her back home to be your wife. She is your wife. Bring her back home and treat her like your wife. I don't know about you, but that is a very disturbing story. But God tells that story. God brings that to us to show us how we have been. You know, what did Gomer do to merit being taken back as a wife after bringing three strange children into their home? What did she do to merit being bought back by Hosea after she had left in her mind for the final time? Nothing. But the love of a husband, the love of a father God, demands that. You know, it's everything about me. Would I do what Hosea did? Everything about me says, I'm pretty sure I wouldn't. You know, I've got biblical reason to put her away, you know. The Bible says I can put her away. But the God that lives in me, the Spirit that dwells in me, the part of Him that wants to control my heart and spirit, tells me you have no choice. You've got to bring her back home. Isn't that beautiful? The kind of God Father that wants to be to us. But I want to tell you a little bit more about that God Father. In chapter 11, just a couple of verses, and then we'll stop here this morning. Is there a noise? Yeah. Let's see, Vanna Philippians says, let there be no grumbling and complaining, right? James is not in your class, is he? When Israel was a child, I loved him as a son. I brought him up out of Egypt. But the more I called him, the more he rebelled, sacrificing to Baal and burning incense to idols. I trained him from infancy. I taught him to walk. I held him in my arms. This is the kind of father who treats his child like the child who wants to leave home and to have another parent, to have another God, to have another father. He said, I'm still going to train you to walk. I'm still going to hold you in my arms regardless of how you choose to act. And here's the one that really gets me. Just a verse down in verse 4. This is chapter 11, verse 4. As a man would lead his favorite ox, so I led Israel with my ropes of love. I loosened his muzzle so he could eat. I myself have stooped and fed him. Guys, we not only have a Father God who leads us with the ropes of love, but he also loosens the muzzle around us so that we can eat freely. And if that's not enough, we have a God who gets down on the ground. He stoops. He gets on his knees to nurture us. Even though we are that one who commits adultery daily, who leaves him daily, have you forsaken him already today? Have you been awake long enough? Have you been unfaithful to him already? But he still comes back down with those gentle ropes of love. He loosens the muzzle, but he gets down in the dirt with us to hand feed us. You know, Glenn, you ever get down with a calf who's struggling to live and you hand feed him? You know, you put the bottle in his mouth, you actually take your hand and put the feed in his mouth? Yes, because you want him to live, you want him to thrive. That is the kind of God Father that we have, and that's who he wants us to know, how he wants us to know him. He makes this one last promise to us, guys, down in verse 11. And I'm reading out of the Living Bible, so it may say a little different from you there. And I will bring them home again. It is a promise from the Lord. He has made each and every one of us a promise that he will bring us home. He's going to do whatever it takes to bring us home. I want our times, and when I say I'm speaking, I think on behalf of our shepherds. I stand on behalf of our shepherds this morning. We want people, as they come in these doors, no matter who they are, what they bring with them, we want them to begin to get to know the Father who loves us so much that he loosens the uncomfortable shackles, the uncomfortable muzzle that we have worn for most of our life. He wants to loosen that. He wants to be gentle with us, to feed us and to nurture us. He even wants to get down on the ground in the dirt of our life and stoop with us to feed us and nurture us and bring us back to life. He is committed to you. I love that verse. I love those chapters in there because it helps me to renew again my love for him. It helps me to fall in love with him all over again. I hope that you've taken a little bit from my sharing with you this morning that as just a part of the GROW, the part of the heart and the plan and the vision that we have for each and every one who comes in these doors to begin to grow in that kind of relationship with a loving Father God, a loving, caring Father. And for him to take us on to completion, to take us on to maturity, Vanna, as Paul says there in Philippians, and to bring us in to be the kind of believers that he envisioned for you before the day that you were born. I will say this as I close. If you have questions, you want to know about, well, what are you guys doing? You know, what are y'all doing? Just talk to us. We are here. We are wide open about everything. We want to be the guys you can approach. We want to be the men that you feel like are stooping down there with you and walking with you, not from up here and not from afar, but to be the kind of shepherds that live life with you. As Ray comes up next week to talk about the R, and then Dan, and then David to a follow-up, and then Jerry's going to finish up with a lesson 4 weeks from now, I guess. I think you'll have a better idea of where we see this body going. Hang in there with us. Hang in there with us. We're just in chapter one, okay? Just in chapter one. Please be praying for the worship committee. They need your prayers. They need your prayers as they dream and examine and look and begin to bring things about for this body here. Please be praying. And I ask again that you pray for your shepherds. Please pray for your shepherds. I agonize over each and every one of you. I labor over your walk with our Lord, and I speak for the other four men that I serve with. We are deeply concerned about your life, and we're deeply concerned about you growing and maturing in our Father in this body. If there's a need that you have, we have an invitation song every Sunday morning. If there's something stirring your heart, something you want to bring before the Lord, something you want to invite this body to pray with you with, a walk in your life that you need someone to come alongside you, that is what this front bench is open for. If you want to make a commitment to your Father this morning and become a believer, that's what this front bench is for. Just step out and meet someone, but please come if you have a need as we stand and sing this morning.